Thank you. It's a very interesting chapter. Kind of feel like Paul eventually around verse 10 got to the point where he said, boy, got to end this, running out of ink, or, you know, candle was getting low or something. He's like, man, this has got to get out in the post office tomorrow. Finally, be strong in the Lord. And yeah, seems like a real big jump to me. A lot of this letter flows together, and I can kind of see how piece by piece the letter works itself out. Even the parts where Paul goes off on a tangent, he typically has a reason that led him on that tangent and a reason to come back from the tangent. Don't really know what the tangent is, if there is one in verse 10. I don't really understand yet why he would go there, other than he just like, well, this is how I wanted to close off this letter, so let's get on with it now. But before we get there, we got the first four verses. I apologize if someone feels I'm doing them a disservice by only making the children sit through one lesson, whereas the adults had to sit through one for fathers, one for mothers, and then parents, as much as the kids are here, you end up getting the bulk of tonight's message as well. Go figure, you know, you get one verse, they have three verses, and I'm going to spend more time on y'all's one verse than their three. But that's the way it is. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, I'm going to read it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, two books over to the right. This is the corollary passage to the Ephesians passage. It doesn't say much differently. It lets us know what the important part of those three verses to children are. It's really the first verse is the most important, because it's the first verse only that gets repeated in Colossians 3, verse 20. It reads like this. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Right off the bat, we can see that there's a little bit of a difference between those two, and we're going to address that difference. We can go ahead and address it right now. In Ephesians, we read, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, Joshua, what does in the Lord mean? I'll tell you what in the Lord means. In everything. That's what Colossians 3:20 says. The two phrases end both of those portions of the sentence, and they go together. And this is not just for these kids. I see other youth scattered around. And if you live in your parents' household, it doesn't much matter how old you are, how much money you make, or if you can get away from the house. If you return to that house in the evening for food, shelter, and the shower, you are a child. You're a child of your parents. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished. I moved back in with my parents for a little while with Elena. That probably almost requalified me as a child again. And Paul gets to the point really quickly. He doesn't quote the Old Testament first. He gives the interpretation of the Old Testament. He says, children, obey your parents in everything. And this is a continuation from what we were reading in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, before we got started on wives and husbands, we read in verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Guess who that includes? Children. Every adult in this room is responsible for submitting themselves to children as unto the Lord. Because remember, we're not talking about a social structure when we submit ourselves to one another. We're not usurping authority or the proper authority in the home when we submit ourselves one to another. This is a biblical commandment to model our lives after Jesus Christ, who even as a child had to submit himself to his own father and mother. And we see the continuation. We see the continuation all the way to the children. Paul addressed wives. He said, wives, don't run amok in the house. I know you're on equal ground now. I know this is a humongous cultural change. You've just been unshackled. You've been released. The freedom of worship that's being expressed now is just incomparable. except for in a couple pagan cults where they let you just dominate inappropriately. Let's rein it in. Let's make sure we're submissive to one another. Make sure you respect your husband's husband. Make sure you love your wives. And then he moves on to the children. Because he knows who's next in line. Who's the next in line to become unruly in the social structure? The children. Note to wives. Y'all came first. Then it was the children. Keep that in perspective. Children, you are equals with your parents as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Now, that sounds really good. Except for all of the responsibility it brings. We've talked about this. With every privilege, with every bringing up, there comes responsibility. Fathers having to love their wives, or husbands having to love their wives to the level of Christ is a huge responsibility. Wives having to submit to their husbands, huge responsibility. You're probably sitting here going, but I didn't choose to be a child. This got chosen for me. I didn't choose to place myself in this home. I didn't choose for them to be my parents. I didn't choose for them to set these rules. I didn't choose for them to set this, and this. And Paul's saying, I know. I know you didn't get to choose any of this. So let's get right down to the point really quickly. Children, obey your parents in everything. Who can think of something that is not included by everything? Other than something that directly contradicts Scripture. This includes your bedtime, whether or not you brush your teeth, what shows you watch, who you talk to, how much time you spend doing what you do. Everything. Well, Joshua, that doesn't sound like very much fun. Newsflash, life never really gets really, really fun. There are periods of really, really fun. But for the most part, God gave us a responsibility and we have a curse to work the ground with sweat and toil. And you know what? We're teaching you as kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And it's crucial because Paul doesn't quote the Old Testament in Colossians, and he doesn't quote the Old Testament first. The verse that comes right after obey your parents in the Lord is honor your father and your mother. And we know Jesus in the Gospels had to address the dishonoring of fathers and mothers by the Pharisees, that they were speaking out of one side of their mouth when they were really doing a disservice. And you can imagine how quickly perverted this text could become in the church as well. Well, I am honoring my father and mother. I'm honoring Jesus Christ. I'm just following the example of Jesus, getting lost in the temple, learning about God. I'm honoring my real father. Smart aleck children, they learn it from us. And Paul goes, no. You honor when you obey. The verse ends, verse 1 says, for this is right. In Colossians it says, for this pleases the Lord. If obedience pleases the Lord, what do you think disobedience does? Displeases who? So even if your parents don't catch you, who's still displeased? And who are you really concerned with displeasing? Are you really concerned with displeasing your parents, or are you concerned with displeasing the Lord? Because thankfully, your parents aren't living under... Well, thankfully, you and your parents are not living under the Old Testament law. Do you know what happened to a child if he struck his parents? They died. Do you know what happened when a child cursed at his parents? They died. In the Old Testament law? Yes. Although I think he might provide small gaps of time to reinstitute it. Why did God have those laws? When you curse at your parents, when you strike your parents and you dishonor them, who are you truly dishonoring? I want to hear it from a child. Oh, was a child in the back? Sweet. I like this kid. You're going to have to bring him up front. He's reading for you and answering questions. Stop and imagine this. I agree sympathetically with you. Sometimes Your parents just don't get you. You're crazy. That's why they can't understand you. Okay? They just don't get you. They don't get what's important. And you know what God says? You don't know what's important either. And I've put them over you for one purpose and one purpose alone. To behave like me to you. And when you backtalk them, and when you disagree with them, and when you fight with them, and when you treat them poorly, you know what? Your parents are the least of your concerns at that point. Because God takes each and every one of those statements personally. They're against Him. That it's a straight line. God established, very much like we dealt with the husbands and the wives, the husband was set over the wife as the father was set over Jesus Christ. God has set the parents over the children in a similar fashion. Not just because, you know, it's convenient. Not because, you know, he just wanted to ruin your lives and make Friday night and Saturday night miserable for you. But because He knew you needed an institution within the church to model God's love, God's provision, and God's safety. And God's disobedience. And that's what comes down. When you disobey with your parents, when you fight against them, it's not pleasing to the Lord. Who cares if your parents are actually aware of it? God's aware of it all. You know, you can pray that, you know, you get caught. I just pray that you don't stand condemned before God for it. Because your behavior is against God, not against your parents. And He is keeping track, and He does catch you every time. That's why He sent Jesus Christ, because we get a load enough of sin before we even leave the house. Ephesians 6, 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, I don't think a single commentary understood what Paul meant when he said this is the first commandment with a promise. Found a couple people who thought they might know. Maybe they did know. I had multiple individuals interpreted saying that Paul actually didn't mean this as the first commandment, but as the primary commandment or the basic commandment. If you cannot satisfy this basic, fundamental, primary commandment to honor your father and mother, you will not be able to please God in the rest of the commandments that lay before you. Whether you start that behavior as children or that behavior continues as adults, if you're not able to honor your father and mother as God's commanded, it's not going to work out. Because with your mouth, you might be saying, I love God, I'm going to sing to Him on Sunday, I'm going to go to Sunday school, I'm going to do my Bible studies. But the moment you go home, if you're treating your parents poorly, God is not pleased. Because the basic, fundamental, primary command is honor your father and mother. Obey them in everything that they say and do. Let me put it this way. I'm going to see all the eyes. You may not understand what I'm saying right now because I'm talking to you first. But trust me, by the time I get down to the end, you'll get it. You do not have any rights. You do not have the right to play in your room. In fact, you don't even have a room. You do not have the right to wear your clothes. You actually don't have any clothes. You do not have the right to eat any food. You don't own any food. You do not have the right... I'm kind of running out of things to do. I was expecting fewer of you. You do not have the right to choose what you do and do not watch on TV. I'm just going to skip you. You don't have... I don't even know what to say to you either. You don't have the right to play guitar when you want to play guitar. You do not have rights. And the reason why I'm addressing this to you is because I'm immediately going to turn to all the adults and say, the same thing goes for you. You gave them up to Jesus Christ. You do not have rights. You have the blessings bestowed upon you by God the Father. And when we teach children and we allow children to primarily conceive of, I have rights, what we're teaching them is that they are owed something by God. And they're not satisfied by what He provides. That's how it develops. Now, unfortunately, we can teach them all the good things, they can still develop those habits. But children, you do not have any rights. And I promise you, 90 to 100% of the time that you have a fight with your parents, it's going to be because you think you have the right to do, say, want, buy, or insert other verb here, or something, or someone. That's what it's going to boil down to. And God, through Paul, is saying, no. In everything, you obey your parents. In everything, it pleases the Lord. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Take that how you want to. I'm not going to tell you you're going to die next week if you disobey your parents all week. But you know what? It's plain. You want your life to go well. You want things to be good. You don't fight for yourself. You live to please the Lord. You're the only one that keeps looking over at me, Joe. Everyone else is scared. Well, not Chris. Chris looks at me too, but he looks scared anyway. Children, it's simple. You get the good end of the stick. Because this is what your parents get told to do. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is really easy, right? Just don't make my kid mad at me. I'm good to go. Did you just say that's hard? Yeah, most of the children up here are snickering at the commandment for the parents not to irritate them. We've discussed this before. When Paul says, don't do one thing, instead do another, we have to take the another and bring it back into the original don't do. What does Paul say not to do? Paul says, do not provoke your children to anger. Fathers, parents, your children are to obey you in everything. And if they truly do attempt to practice this, you can make their lives miserable. In a proper functioning church, if you have a holy kid who's obedient to the Lord, that's the one you have to be careful about. Because you're the one, when you try to force on them non-biblical commandments, your preferences, your ideals, your standards, guess what happens? They look at you and they go, you're just feeding me junk. You're pushing law on me. And they're going to sit there and they're going to start to despise you and despise the God you stand in place of. And eventually they'll cease obeying you. And they'll cease listening to you. Because they know that in the end, you are not truly doing for them what you claim and what Scripture proclaims you are supposed to be doing for them. Newsflash, children. This still means that your parents are going to have opinions that are not found in the Bible. And you still have to obey those opinions, even if they're not found in the Bible. As long as they don't contradict Scripture, you have to obey them in everything, for it is pleasing unto the Lord. But parents, the standard is not just don't make your child mad at you. This is not a layover, bend over backwards, make sure they get everything they want, whenever they want, all the time. No. Paul says, don't provoke your children to anger. Instead, do this. And that instead is to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And there's something principally before we even start getting into how we apply this that we need to verify the importance of these two things that parents are supposed to do. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Can someone read verse 16? Anyone want to guess the two words in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 that are shared in Ephesians 6 verse 4? Training and teaching. Parents, your commandment in bestowing upon your children, instead of angering them, to train and teach them, discipline and instruct in the Lord, mirrors the usage of Scripture. What Scripture is supposed to do for you, you are supposed to turn around and do for your children. Newsflash. You will fail unless you are getting enough Scripture to shoot it back out. As a parent, fundamentally, if you are not consuming enough Scripture to have these two very things happen in yourself, they cannot happen in your children. Now, does anyone here read, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but make sure they make it to a good college. Make sure they participate in as many extracurriculars as possible. Make sure they own everything they could ever want. Make sure they own nothing they could ever want." Is there anything in here concerned with the well-being of your child's personal life apart from their salvation and intimacy with God? Children, is there anything in here commanded of your parents to make sure that you have a nice, happy, wonderful life on earth? In fact, who's responsible for having a long, good life on the earth? You are. And how do you accomplish that? Specifically being obedient to your parents. But yeah, staying close to the Lord. Parents, let them take care of their own happiness by obeying you. Your responsibility is to consume Scripture and pour it back out. The first one is nurture and discipline. This really is chastising to bring up of a child, especially its training, teaching, and education. How are you going to educate your child in what you're ignorant of? I don't know how many of y'all have ever tried to tutor your children in math until they exceeded your level of understanding. The church has been in a state of that biblically for far too long. You can't teach your child past David killed Goliath with a sling. I don't know what it means. I don't know why it's there, but I can tell you the story. That is not going to cut it. It's not. They can never go deeper than you in your household. Who is responsible for the spiritual education of your children? It's not the Holy Spirit, although He's going to do His darnest to educate them despite you. It's not them. It's not the church itself. The church is here as a family around you. Who is responsible for the spiritual education of your children? You are. And just like with a math class, if you are not exceeding the level at which your children are preparing to go into, you will not be able to fulfill the only thing Paul commands you to do with your children. Two things. One of them is instruct them. There's a great statement in Doug Wilson's book. It says, look, fathers, you do not have to be a theologian. But inside of your house, you are the theologian on call. And most of y'all are stopping and going, oh snap, I am not a very good theologian. I don't know what God says in His Word. I don't know what He means in Ephesians 6, chapter 1. where he says, children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. I don't know what he says in this passage, in this passage, in this passage. Newsflash. Your kids know it. And they're going to see you lead them to church and lead them away from church, and you will be none the wiser for it. And guess whose habits they pick up? Yours. Your children's study habits, your children's depth of spiritual understanding reflects on one person and one person alone. You. I'm not saying that to fathers, I'm saying that to fathers and mothers. But it reflects on you. Plural you. You as a unit. The instruction necessary from Scripture, the discipline necessary from Scripture is placed on adults. And I don't like to use personal stories, but I'm going to use a personal story. It's not me, but I'm talking about someone else. But I don't like to use someone I actually know in a story very often. They were on the phone trying to find a soccer club for their kid to play at, because he wants them to play soccer on top of going to Boy Scouts, on top of doing classical music, on top of doing XYZ. And we've got an entire culture of people who do that. Got to make sure my kid is in this, getting this education to go to this school so that they can have this job and this, and this. The Lord does not care about any of that. And we can speak it with our mouths, and we can come to churches where they proclaim it over and over and over again. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy. And then we make sure that our kids are doing everything but laying up treasures in heaven. It's an embarrassment. Just completely embarrassing for parents. You know, we've looked at the small catechism of Luther's, or the small catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith, what they taught kids in terms of Scripture and the Word of God, who God was. I can guarantee you that if I were to bring a test in here to ask questions pertaining to this text that they were teaching to children, 70% of us would fail. It's your own fault if you're old enough to be studying on your own. But for every child that failed, it'd be a direct reflection of their parents. No one else. The buck stops there. I don't know if the only thing Paul said and meant was, Father, do not provoke your children to anger with you. Or if Paul was saying, do not let go the opportunity to instruct and raise your children so that God's anger does not reside on them. In Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 12:8. That's one of those chapters in there somewhere. Only illegitimate children are not instructed and disciplined by God. And you parents, when you don't take the opportunity to instruct, which is partially correction, the reproving of your children, you are communicating to them, whether you realize it or not, I do not love you. Children, when your parents do not correct you and they let you get away with things that you're not supposed to get away with, you need to call them out for it, even though it's going to get you in trouble. Because principally, by not punishing you for not doing what you're not supposed to do, or doing what you're not supposed to do, or not doing what you're supposed to do, they're letting you get away with something that could come back to bite you in the end. So when your parents discipline you, you know what you should say. Thank you. I now know that you love me. And it sounds funny. It sounds funny until you realize that what Paul is saying is, if your parents don't discipline you, they might as well just send you to hell. Because they don't care to raise you in the admonition of the Lord. They don't care to teach you His Word. They don't care to teach you how to behave. You want to know why you obey them? You obey them because your hope is that they are treating you as an equal brother and sister in Christ who can be trained in how to live a godly life. Parents, I can only harp on them so much before I have to turn to you again and say, you can take advantage of this by not teaching them, by not instructing them, by teaching them things other than the Word of God. It's not allowed, not allowed. Do not bring them up in discipline, but bring them up in discipline and the instruction of the Lord. The instruction of the Lord literally is a putting into the mind. And I don't know how fundamentally, yet again, we can put something into the mind of our children that we don't know. You just can't get around it. You can't teach your child something you don't know. You know what they're going to learn? They're going to learn what you do know. You don't know Scripture, they're going to learn not to know Scripture. They don't care about church, you know what they're going to learn? Not to care about church. Church is fake, you know what they're going to learn? Church is fake. So they're going to learn whatever you know, and they're going to teach you that. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your hearts. If you are a parent, and you quote, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. If you've memorized it, if you're going to memorize it, if you quote it to yourself or anything, I want to ask you to memorize verse 7 and quote verse 7 every time you quote verse 4 or verse 5. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. I don't care if they want to watch a TV show. I don't care if they want to play video games. I don't care if they've got, well, maybe homework. Help them on the homework and then, you know, save them some time so you can instruct them in what actually matters. Your first calling after confessing that your Lord, your God is one. You're going to love Him with all your heart. You're going to love Him with all your soul. You're going to love Him with all your strength. And God goes, great, now go enjoy life. I'm so glad you made that confession to me. Enter into my gates. This is just going to be one big party. No, teach them diligently to your children. Teach them to confess this, to mean this. What period of time is excluded from sitting in your house, walking by the way, lying down and rising up? None. None. And I pray the Holy Spirit slowly begin to convict all of us of the time wasted not instructing our children. I hope He does it gently. Because if He doesn't do it gently, you know, you just may not recover. You may not recover. Deuteronomy 11 says something very similar to Deuteronomy 6. That's partially a reference to living long in the land. It says that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their offspring. Parents, do you fundamentally believe that God desires to give the same promises to your children as to you? And if you do, you have got to instruct them. Peter says in Acts 2 that this promise is to you and your household, or to you and your children. It's time to start living as if we truly believed what the Word of God said. The Word of God says this promise is for our kids. The Word of God says we need to teach this to our kids. The Word of God says I'm not to provoke my kids to anger. Instead, I'm to raise them as Scripture instructs me. Consume Scripture, outpour Scripture. Grow in yourself, children grow up as well. Well, Joshua, I've already wasted 12 years. Just pop them on the head a couple times, chain them to a wall, and start reading Scripture to them. Feed them occasionally, especially the boys. It's never too late to start. I would argue it's also probably never too early to start. The Word of God is first and foremost everything. Do you pray for your children's health? Pray for their spiritual health. Do you pray for their prosperity? Pray for their spiritual prosperity. Do you pray that they won't experience suffering and, you know, anguish? Pray that they suffer it because of Christ Jesus. That is the heart of a parent. Places everything else aside. The problem is that we don't, because in our own lives, we don't do that there either. We set up for ourselves treasures on earth, so in our children, we bestow the idea to set up treasures on earth. It's time to stop that. Once you get your whole husband love your wives, wives respect your husband thing worked out, because I'm sure y'all are all like 75% of the way to resolving all the marriage problems you've ever had. The moment you solve that, it's time to start working on your children. It's time to start working on your children. And children, it's very simple. Obey your parents in everything. It pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. You cannot imagine and you cannot put to test God, who will bless you for being obedient to your parents. He will pay it back. He promises that. If you'll pray with me, next week we're going to discuss slaves and earthly masters. If you're not here, all I'm going to say is you're going to be missing fireworks.